I'm Miranda Lee, and you're listening to the Bread Therapy Mama podcast, a show created for moms who want to feed their families foods that heal them, not hurt them. Food was meant to be our medicine, and the best way to do that is by focusing on the ingredients, not the calories. Here, you'll find everything you need to know about holistic nutrition, sprinkled with some motherhood, faith, and non-toxic living along the way. I can't wait to grow with you. Let's dive in. What is up, you guys? Welcome back. So I'm going to be giving you guys just a couple tips. I guess like my biggest tip for just eating healthier and living a healthier lifestyle for you and your family as well. It can already be hard enough to eat healthier for yourself, but as moms, it can be even harder to get your kids and family members to maybe make these changes and eat healthier as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I feel like I haven't really talked about diet culture, kind of like those types of things, in a while. So I'm just going to be bringing it up a little bit here, I guess. Because, like, the issue I have with diet culture is obviously, like, it's just creating these unrealistic standards, like, for everyone, right? Like, not only, like, how you're supposed to look, but also, like, how you're supposed to eat. And it's just unsustainable, and that's why the diet industry is, you know, they're multi-billionaires, because it doesn't work, and we keep coming back for more. But, like, just because I'm anti-diet doesn't mean, like, doesn't mean that I'm not about, like, wanting to be healthier and make these changes. And I think we should all want to be healthier. I just think diet culture kind of teaches us the wrong things. They kind of, like, label the wrong things as healthy versus unhealthy, which I've talked about many times. I don't like labeling foods as good and bad, or as healthy versus unhealthy, but I definitely think that there are healthier options and there are healthier choices that we can make as a family and as individuals. And that's kind of like what my main tip is going to do. It's not about making yourself healthy. It's just about making you healthier. So what can we do to be a little better? I'm all about, you know, trying to be 1% better every day, like making choices that are going to be 1% better. And like 1% doesn't seem like a lot, but over time, like that really starts to add up. And it doesn't seem like a lot, which is kind of a good thing, which means it's going to be more sustainable. You're going to be more motivated to stick to whatever these changes are. So let's just get into it, right? So my number one tip for you guys is to stop cutting things out and starting from scratch. That is overwhelming for everyone. There are very few times where I feel like you need to, like, purge your cabinet and fridge of, like, foods or food groups or whatever. I mean, besides, like, you know, getting rid of expired or foods that have, like, gone bad. But, like, how many of you have maybe gone through your cabinets and gotten rid of everything that you deemed as unhealthy? Like, we've probably all done it at least once in our life. And then, you know, you go to the store and then you buy all these quote-unquote healthy foods, and then those go bad because it's just kind of, like, inconvenient. Or you just get demotivated and you just don't keep up with it. So don't do that. Like, let's not do that. Like I said, there are very few times where I think it's beneficial, and maybe, like, one of those times is if, like, there's an allergy. You know, obviously you want to get rid of those foods. And I don't know, I have a strong stance on this, but maybe even getting rid of all foods with dyes in them. But, like, even then, I don't even think I would necessarily do that. I would just make the conscious decision that from now on, the foods that I buy are going to be dye-free, and I'll just, you know, use or phase out the foods in my house that like already had dyes, right? Like, I think that's the best way to do it. Not only is it just a better, more consistent choice, but like it's gonna save money too. Like, if you just threw out a bunch of good food, I feel like that's such like a first world thing to do. A lot of people don't have the luxury just to throw out a certain food because it doesn't fit into their current diet. And I don't think that's something that we should be doing either, even if it's for a better purpose, right? Like, we're trying to be healthier and make these healthier decisions. I am currently going to school again to get my nutrition therapy certification. And, you know, a lot of it is maybe making recommendations for clients or making meal plans and stuff. And I think it's so important to base everything off of these individuals' preferences. So if someone comes to me and says, like, every day for lunch they eat like a hamburger on white bread, and they have hot Cheetos, and they have a chocolate chip cookie, and like that's their lunch every day, I'm not gonna make recommendations for them to like, okay, so we're gonna eat a salad, and then we're going to have grilled chicken on the side, and then we're like, I'm not gonna give them a meal that's like so different than what they're already eating. So that's something I think you guys should try as well. Like, take what you have now and what you're eating now, maybe what your family's eating now or what they're used to, and let's make it just a little bit better. Hey mamas, I wanted to take a quick break to tell you about my favorite makeup and skincare company, Tupes & Co. Organics. I love them because they use real ingredients like tallow from grass-fed cows, organic cold-pressed olive oil, and certified organic essential oils, and they never use synthetic chemicals, GMOs, toxins, or artificial colors and dyes or fragrances that we do not want in our makeup or skincare products. I made the switch to Tupes & Co. Organics because here's the thing, you guys, your skin is your largest organ. You can be eating the cleanest, most organic ingredients and foods possible, but if you are putting lotions and skincare products or makeup like your primer and foundations on that have these harsh chemicals and toxins in them, your skin is going to absorb it. And I totally trust Tupes & Co. because they are made with these real ingredients, don't have all this artificial shenanigans in them, and they're also made in the USA. They are supporting small family-owned farms, and they're all about being sustainable, fair trade, transparent, and ethical. These are all things that just align with my values. So I got a discount code for you guys if you go to tupesandco.com, so tupesandco.com, and use the code breadtherapy10, you will get 10% off your order. So go check out their skincare and their makeup and let me know if you need any product recommendations. But I hope you guys enjoy Tupes & Co. as much as I do. Let's get back to the show. So if you're eating a hamburger every day on white bread, there are a couple ways that we can make that 1% better. You know, we can swap the type of bread for a higher quality bread, maybe a whole grain, a whole wheat bread, maybe a homemade bread. Maybe you like are a sucker for white bread and you want to eat white bread. Can you find one with better ingredients? Maybe that doesn't have bleached flour, maybe with no added sugar. Maybe this is something you make at home. Or maybe you just make it an open face sandwich. So instead of two slices of this white bread, you are doing it on just one slice of white bread. That is a step in the right direction. So diet culture is going to tell you, like, no, you shouldn't even be eating bread, especially not white bread. But like, okay, is it going to be realistic for you to cut out bread completely and just never eat it again? And is it going to be something you want to do? And is it going to be something that is enjoyable? I mean, only you can answer that. Like, I don't know. Like, if it was me, I would want to find a substitute that made it healthier for me, but made me still enjoy the meals that I prepare. And this is especially going to be helpful for any young kids that you have. Kids don't like change, so they're probably not going to be the biggest fan of you, like, completely swapping out their bread for a new type. So, you know, maybe don't go from white bread to, like, you know, the seedy bread that has all those nutrients in it that I think is delicious. But maybe just going for a whole wheat bread instead of a white bread, something that's not too crazy of a transition, and then going from there. So taking the meals where they're at already and making some changes to make those meals 1% better, just a little bit healthier. But you know, they're still meals that you enjoy. And like, I bring up like white bread, right? It's just like an easy example, but it could be things that, it could be like if you have a snack that your kids eat every day, like maybe your kids are eating, fruit snacks every day, right? And you decide that you don't want to give them fruit snacks that have dyes in there because you've heard about how crappy dyes are. I'm going to link my dye episode. It's one of my most listened to. It's really, really important, understanding the dangers of artificial dyes. So if you haven't listened to that episode, please go back and listen to it. It's really, really insightful. But anyways, let's say like you want to switch from these traditional fruit snacks that have colored dyes in them, that have numbered dyes, to something else. I feel like that's a pretty easy swap that your kids might not mind too much. You might have to do a little trial and error with some different brands to make sure, you know, it still tastes good and that your kids still like it. And of course, like the crunchy mom in me wants to be like, I'm going to make my kids fruit snacks. And you know what? There's been a couple times that I have, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to be the mom who makes every single snack for my kid homemade. And I'm not that mom currently. There are certain snacks and foods that I will always make for my son homemade. One of them will be bread. You know, I've gotten good at making bread. I enjoy making bread. It's kind of part of my weekly routine, is making sourdough or making sandwich bread or whatever it may be. So that's not something that I'd go out and buy because I don't need to. But there are certain foods and snacks, like little, they're like these like little freeze-dried yogurt melts that are just very convenient, and I just throw in my purse just in case. You know, that's something that, can I make that? Maybe. My parents just got a freeze dryer, so maybe in the future I can, you know, use my parents' freeze dryer and make these snacks. But yeah, that is something I'd rather just pay for. So you know, kind of like picking your battles, picking the things that can fit into your schedule that maybe you can make homemade. And then otherwise, let's just find quality versions of these foods. So anyways, like I said, trying to just make the foods that maybe you're giving to your family, or maybe you're eating yourself on a regular basis, finding a healthier swap / alternative, or maybe little change that you can make to make this food more nutritionally dense for your body, right? So this can mean like taking a food that maybe you eat on a regular basis or your kid eats and adding something to it. I feel like diet culture has been like, all right, in order to make something healthier, we gotta take it away. And that's not necessarily true. I think I've given this example before, but like, let's say, like, the little individual yogurt cups that you can buy, right? Like, sometimes I'll have them in my fridge. So if, you know, just convenience, if I'm in a rush or a lot of things are going on, like, you can just grab a little yogurt cup. I normally buy, you know, my yogurt in a, like, plain Greek unsweetened yogurt. And then, you know, I add whatever I feel like adding. But I have had a couple of like of the individual containers. And there's been a couple times where my son has wanted one of these individual containers of yogurt. And instead of having like the mom guilt of like, oh my gosh, I'm giving my son processed prepackaged food, blah, 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 which I don't know. I feel like mom guilt's going to hit no matter what life decision that you make, big or small. But I took this individual yogurt and I added in like some chia seeds, some whole fruit, you know, I added that stuff in there just to add a little more nutrients to maybe be a little more satiating for my son and, you know, give him the micronutrients that his body needs and craves. So we can add things into our food as well. Like even if you're someone who eats a burger every single day for lunch, like, okay, what toppings or vegetables can we maybe add on there to add a little more nutrients? Like maybe you can add some spinach in there, maybe some tomatoes, maybe you can saute up some like onions and mushrooms to put on your burger as well. So, you know, these foods are going to be more nutrient dense, which we're all about, right? They're also going to be more satiating, so you'll probably have less room to like feel the need to maybe eat fillers or things that maybe aren't contributing to the nutritional needs of your body. Like it could be like chips, let's say. I'm just going to pick on chips because they're easy, they're convenient, and they're typically not very nutrient dense. So, like, if you're someone who's trying to make healthier decisions, instead of maybe completely cutting out your chips, you have a couple options. One, you can find maybe a better quality chip, one that's not made with, like, vegetable oils, doesn't have a bunch of additives, that type of stuff. That's a great option. Another thing is maybe cut your chip intake in half and add some fruits or veggies in there with it. I know like one thing I love to do, let's say as a snack, is if I get hummus, you know, tortilla chips, I'm a sucker for tortilla chips. I love to dip them in hummus, but I'll like do some tortilla chips and then some, you know, like carrot sticks or cucumbers. So it's kind of like this mix of both. Like I'm looking at this snack slash meal that I'm having and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of getting everything in here. I'm getting nutrient-dense foods, but I'm also getting foods that are going to satisfy whatever cravings that I'm having. So it's a good balance. If you are someone who just relies strictly on willpower and just don't eat the foods that you're craving, you just might have... issues with food, like leading to like a binge down the line. I'm not making that assumption for everyone. I know that's just kind of my personal experience is when I used to just restrict and restrict and restrict things that I was eating and not eat the things that I was actually wanting or craving. It would just kind of lead to a binge down the line. So, you know, just finding that balance. So this is just kind of a just little mini tips into the big tip of don't cut things out, make changes. So those changes can be finding alternatives, making healthier swaps, or start adding more nutrient dense foods into your diet instead of focusing on taking things out. Because diet culture just tells us to stop eating certain foods, cold turkey, like this food is unhealthy for you and this food is better. And like, I feel like we've kind of gotten out of the whole calorie part of diet culture. So, not completely, but, you know, for a while, diet culture was just focused on weight loss, right? And saying, like, oh, this is lower calories, this is lower fat, this is lower carbs, this is higher in protein, so it must be healthy. We were in that for a while, right? And now things have kind of transitioned over to, like, being healthy or unhealthy because of the, let's say, the ingredients or just what the food is itself. So now, you know, things are being greenwashed and labeled as like, oh, it's non-GMO and it's organic. So we're assuming that that means that it's healthy, or, you know, being taught that seed oils are bad for you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying, like, I'm wanting to come on here and say, you know, we should try to avoid certain seed oils, right? Like certain vegetable oils. But I'm not going to tell you that, like, it's the devil and, like, you shouldn't eat it. Like, I'd rather educate you guys on, like, why it isn't the best option for us and maybe some healthier alternatives. And, like, these are things that we should limit. I think at the end of the day, it's all about, moderation of things. And now diet culture is kind of trying to get into the whole, like, just demonizing foods, not because of calories, but just because of what they are. And like I said in the beginning, yeah, there are a lot of foods that, like, aren't the best for you and they aren't beneficial for your health. But there are also foods that, like, they're not, like, horrible for you, and you just need to be conscious and aware of, like, the decisions that you are making. So, I think in May, don't quote me, but I'm gonna do, like, a mini series of kind of just pretty short episodes about, like, very specific topics, just so we can educate ourselves and just be more equipped so we can make, you know, the best, just the best decisions for ourselves nutritionally. So, like, for example, I'm gonna maybe, like, do an episode about raw milk, like, in, like, the whole dairy lactose intolerance thing, and maybe another episode about I had, like, all these episode examples, and now that I'm sitting here, I'm trying to remember what they were. I know there was an episode about vitamin A that I wanted to do because I thought that was really important. Just a little teaser about that. We were all taught that we get our vitamin A from, like, fruits and veggies, when that's not necessarily true. That is not the best source, not even that good of a source of vitamin A. You know, they say, oh, carrots are good for your eyesight. Not really, not exactly how that works. I'll also do an episode on, like, these seed oils. I just kind of want to, like, bust these little myths, right? So I'm going to do that. If you guys have maybe any myths or any topics or just anything you want me to talk about on this podcast, or maybe you have a question that you want me to address, feel free to shoot me a message on Instagram at @thisismirandalee. I'd love to take your recommendations, your suggestions, your maybe questions. It would help me out too, so I don't have to think of podcast episode ideas. Also, maybe there's a guest that you want to see on my podcast. You can totally make that recommendation as well. Maybe you want to be a guest. Maybe you want to share your story, or you're an expert in a certain little field or topic that you want to talk about. Like, go ahead, shoot me a message, on Instagram. That's where I'm most active. That will be in the show notes as well, if you can't remember at @thisismirandalee. But all right, that's it for today. I hope these tips were helpful, and I'll see you guys next time. Thank you all for joining me in another episode of the Bread Therapy Mama podcast. If you like this kind of content, check out my blog for recipes, how-tos, product recommendations, and more. Just go to breadtherapymama.com. I'll see you all in the next episode.